Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Start off in prayer. Amen. Come on. Dear God, thank you for this time together. God, thank you that we get to come before you and listen to your word. God, thank you for the love and the grace and the challenge and the growth potential in your word. God, I pray in this time that I would decrease and you would increase. Holy Spirit, come, take control of this time together. Guide our words, guide our thoughts, guide our actions, Lord God, so we can reflect more of you, Jesus, to those around us, especially this Easter season. In your name we pray and we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are diving in here today to Luke 8. So I'll be reading at the NIV version as we start off. And we'll have a couple other translations coming in too. It'll be fun. As I said, we're continuing our Difference Maker series. Today's actually the last day for our Difference Maker soap series, last day of March. As we've been going through recently in the chapters of Matthew and Mark, and then we're closing out these last few days in the book of Luke. And so today we're in Luke 8. So starting off here, Luke 8, verse 1. And this portion is entitled, The Parable of the Sower. Verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to see Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and tries to take away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked up by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. This next portion titled, A Lamp on a Stand, verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. This next portion is entitled, Jesus' Mother and Brothers, Verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." This next portion is entitled, "Jesus Calms the Storm," verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and waters, and they obey him." This next portion is entitled, "Jesus Restores a Demon-Possessed Man," verse 26. They sailed to the region of Gerasene, which was across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in the house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting on top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This next portion here is entitled, "Jesus Raises a Dead Girl and Heals a Sick Woman," verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been healed instantly. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, All the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished. But he ordered them not to tell anyone what happened. Amen to God's word. All right, so we are diving in. A lot to dive into today, right? So grab your water, grab a nice little stretch if you need to. All right. So this chapter here in Luke actually parallels with Mark 5, which we actually did in soap last month. If you want to go back, hear more about Luke 5 and some of these stories from a different perspective. February 19th, Pastor Jason taught. So go ahead and check out Pastor Jason's teaching from Mark 5 for a similar but different perspective on these stories. But in the meantime, as we said, we're going into our last day of March, our last day of our theme of being a difference maker. So it's kind of the lens we're going to look at today of these different stories. I'm calling this the do's and don'ts of making a difference. All right. We look at some comparing here, the do's and the don'ts of making a difference. So ready to go? We're back to the beginning, back to verse one. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. So the first do to be a difference maker, do fight against the cultural standards and opinions of others. So this statement right here, also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases that were traveling around with him and the 12, that is so culturally abnormal for this time. See, back then, men who were traveling around and learning from their rabbis, that was very common practice. It was actually an honorable practice. To be a student under a rabbi was a big deal. But for women, it was highly uncommon. It was even looked down upon by religious leaders. See, women did not have the same opportunities as men did back then. Especially young girls, they would not have been being teachers. They might have gone early days, but especially as they got older, they would have been expected to stay in the household, help with household chores, help their mothers, help their future husbands, right? Or their husbands if they're married at the time. So the fact that women are coming alongside Jesus as disciples is very counterculture. And again, it goes against the opinions and perspectives of the rabbis and other religious leaders of the time. And we see it in the Amplified Version. Amplified Version, it says that these women who were contributing to their support out of their private means, as was the custom for rabbis' disciples. So it's not just they were supporting, they were actively disciples of Jesus. They were learning from him, traveling with him, just like the men were doing at the time. As in some studying too, and one of the commentators pointed out this interesting fact that I never realized, but in all four Gospels, all of Jesus' enemies were men. Just make you think about, you know? But yet we're seeing here how these women are fighting against the cultural standards and opinions of others to follow Jesus, right? We have Mary from the city of Magdala in Galilee, which was a prosperous fishing city, Magdala. Joanna, whose husband's worked in Herod's court in Galilee, overseeing his household, overseeing Herod's courtyard and everything there. And also a woman named Susanna, whom we don't have any details about. But I would hazard a guess, just Heather's guess, that Susanna also probably was from Galilee as well, seeing as Mary of Magdala, Joanna, and Susanna. And so all three of these women, even though they may or may not have lived in Galilee, probably would not have come into contact with each other because of their different standards and living conditions. And yet, because they were all following Jesus, Jesus brought them together, right? They were learning together. They're coming alongside him, not just to learn, but even to grow his ministry, right? And we see that when Jesus brings people together from all different backgrounds and different ways, we see how that's how his kingdom purposes come to pass, right? Again, this time with cultural norms, it was unlikely that any of these women would have made their own money, right? They may have if they have different skills, but that's not mentioned here, right? We see Mary of Magdala from a prosperous fishing city, and women weren't fishermen, right? So she I could hazard a guess, again, just guesses. She probably came from either a fishing family or some other similar city or similar employment, right? And so she would have been a fisher. Her brothers or her father or someone else in her family would have been fishing, and she would have been at home preparing fish or preparing the household, right? While the men were earning the money. Joanna, same thing, right? Her husband, she was the wife of Chuza. It wasn't her money, it wasn't her position, right? And Susanna, we have no details about. So we have no idea if she had a family, how old she was, any of these details, right? And yet, despite these women probably not making their own money, they knew to whom they and their finances belonged to. Again, despite the probably counterculture value of their family or their husband's budgets, right? Their husband's making the income. Their husbands are going out to work. And yet they're giving of their own, it says they gave of their own, right? Their own support from their own means. And they were trying to take care of what God was doing, what Jesus was doing here, taking care of what from their own finances, their own household, right? And we see that Jesus was such a difference maker in their lives that they wanted to support him so he could be a difference maker for others. Again, bringing together women of different backgrounds and cultural statuses, right? And cultural standings. And they're fighting against these norms of, and opinions of others themselves. And so they could see Jesus continue making a difference. And in doing so, they became difference makers themselves. Amen. So if you want to be a difference maker, the first do of being a difference maker is do fight against the cultural standards and opinions of others, right? Just like these women. Scrolling on down here, moving on down. Parable of the sower, right? We've heard this before, and it's so powerful, right? So the next point, to be a difference maker, don't let the seed of his word fall on poor soil. We've read the NIV version, but I want to read this in the Amplified version here. The Amplified version, it reads, "Now the meaning of this parable is this: the seed is the word of God concerning eternal salvation. Those beside the road are the people who have heard, and the devil comes and takes the message of God away from their hearts, so they will not believe in me as the Messiah and be saved. Those on rocky soil are the people who, when they hear, receive and welcome the word with joy, but these have no firmly grounded root. They believe for a while, and in time of trial and temptation, they fall away from me and abandon their faith. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, but as they go on their way, they are suffocated with the anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with good and noble heart, and hold on to it tightly, and bear fruit with patience." So again, this story gives us a great example of how not to be a difference maker, right? It says that those beside the road, the devil comes and takes the message of God away from their hearts. Right? We talk about the symbolism, all these different soils, right? So this symbolism, the path, is a place where countless others travel, right? It gets trampled underfoot. The path, especially back in those days, they didn't have construction crews going around, and digging paths out. They didn't have, sidewalks and blacktop and all these things, right? These paths were worn down over years and years and decades and generations, right, of people traveling the path. So these are naturally worn paths or naturally worn down more as people traveled them, right? And just what Jesus is saying here, this path where the seed is getting scattered, this path has been worn down by the ways of others coming and going daily, following the ways of the crowd, right? That's how not to be a difference maker. Not to be a difference maker by following the ways of the crowd instead of carving out our own path, a narrow path, as Jesus calls it, right? Those on rocky soil have no firmly grounded roots, have not to be a difference maker, right? They're not grounded in God's word daily. They're not grounded in prayer or worship. They're not grounded in a church family. These seeds are not grounded in a connect group with fellow believers and prayer partners, right? These people who are having their seed on rocky soil with no firm root, they're remaining shallow in their relationships with others. More importantly, the relationship and connection with God. It's not allowing them to have a firm root, a firm foundation to mature and grow on, right? This next one here with next soil. Those seed which fell among the thorns, since the Amplified Version is suffocated with the anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life, not letting the breath of God fill their lungs, right? Because they're staying suffocated. Their life is getting choked out of them, right? These seeds. So instead of us to not be a difference maker, we're not letting the breath of God fill our lungs and fill our hearts and minds with His peace. Instead of the anxieties and the pleasures and desires of this life are choking that out. So how do we be a difference maker then? Jesus says in verse 10, he says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of this parable. And the Passion Translation, the same portion, verses 10 and 11, the Passion Translation, it reads, "Later his disciples came to Jesus and asked him privately what deeper meaning was found in this parable. He said, 'You have been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret, hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories.'" So the difference between the disciples here having knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God and the others in the crowd, the secret that made the disciples here difference makers is that they were spending time with Jesus. Especially in the Passion Translation, they came and asked him privately, right? They're seeking out Jesus privately, away from the crowd, away from the Sunday service, away from the worship night. They're coming to be difference makers and learn from Jesus. And that happens by spending time with him. I love even too that Jesus, he asked, or the disciples asked him the meaning, and he answered them. He didn't leave them hanging. He didn't do a cliffhanger. He didn't make them beg. He didn't make them feel guilty or ashamed or criticized for not knowing or understanding. All they had to do was humble themselves, have a listening and teachable heart, and seek Jesus privately. And he revealed everything that they needed to know. He revealed the secrets of the kingdom of God to them. All they had to do was come to him. God will reveal things to us. He wants us to be difference makers too. We need to come to him privately in our quiet times, in our cars, with the doors or our bathrooms. If you're a mom, use some quiet times, shut the bathroom door even, right? Because by having the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God through spending time with Jesus, I allow the disciples to be difference makers for the kingdom of heaven. When you know and understand and are getting more familiar with as you grow and knowing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, allows us to be difference makers too in the kingdom of heaven, bringing the kingdom of heaven here on earth as in heaven. So to be a difference maker, don't let the seed of his word fall on poor soil, but spend time letting Jesus till the soil of your heart. Be teachable. Have a listening heart. Amen. Having that heart that's soft and that's good soil for him to sow a seed of his word and produce a harvest a hundredfold. That's that sowing that seed. That's what makes an impact. That makes a difference, right? That feeds bellies of people in a practical way to be a difference maker, but in a spiritual way also enables us to be difference makers spiritually as well for others. Amen. This next portion here, verse 16, a lamp on a stand. To be a difference maker, do share your light with others, right? Last time we talked, I saw you guys, and we were in Matthew 5, right? And we talked about Matthew 5. verses 14 through 16. Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world, right? Of the Message translation. The Message translation, verses 14 through 16 says, God is not a secret to be kept. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I also love the Amplified version, which same portion of scripture. Amplified translation reads, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So again, we're seeing here Jesus is repeating this teaching of being a light, being a lamp on a stand, right? And talks about in the context here, it says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. And again, we're not talking about giving more of riches or wealth or glory, right? That's not what this is about. More the context of a lamp on a stand. Back then, they had oil lamps to keep burning and shining light, right? So whoever has oil to keep their fire burning, Jesus is saying here, will be given more oil, which allows you to burn longer and brighter, which allows you to shine even more light to more people in a bigger household, right? And when we shine more light, we have more darkness and pain in the lives of others that may be hidden or concealed. It gets brought into that light of Jesus for his healing and his restoration. Amen. But whoever does not have will be taken away from them, right? Whoever does not have their oil going, whoever does not have that fire burning, right? Whoever lets their fire go out by not supplying more oil, or even worse, by covering it up and snuffing out the flame, right? Your candle going, I have a candle in my bathroom I like to burn, right? And I don't blow the candle out. I put the lid on top of the candle. What happens? The light dims out slowly, and then poof, it's gone. It's just smoke. So when you snuff out that flame, you put your light under a clay jar or under a bed or under a basket, right? Nothing happens with that light. It gets snuffed out and it's gone. So what Jesus is saying here, you need to keep your oil burning. Keep that fire going, right? To be a difference maker and shine your light for others. This next portion here, verse 19. To be a difference maker, don't let yourself get lost in the crowd. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And we see echoed here, as well as in John 7 and Mark 3, that Jesus' mother, Mary, she knew who Jesus was. She knew who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, but Jesus' brothers didn't believe him. And again, this is another portion of scripture here in Luke that is echoed in John and Mark, that Jesus' brothers, they weren't supportive of his ministry, right? They thought he was crazy. They thought he was just their brother. We're talking about he's the Son of God. We have the same mom, dude. We're all here. Like, we're all in the same household growing up. And yet, that's what happened here, is that they lost sight of Jesus. And the same thing happens to us. When we lose sight of Jesus, we lose proximity to him in our daily life. We let others come between us and him. Especially the thing about this, Jesus' mother probably could have seen him if she wanted to, because she had unbelieving brothers around him, her other sons who are coming around Jesus and coming around her, right? But she was in the wrong crowd, had the wrong people around her. They didn't believe in Jesus. She herself lost proximity to Jesus. She lost that connection with Jesus to see him because of the others around her, right? And the same thing happens when we have unbelief or skepticism or criticism of who he is, or people in our lives. We don't have believers in our life, in our close circle of friends, and those around us have unbelief or skepticism or criticism of our faith. It keeps us from being a difference maker. And think about this too. Think about this. The disciples only spent 3 years with Jesus. His brothers growing up had many more years than three, right? And yet, even though his brothers had so many more years and a closer relationship growing up than these disciples had? And how much closer could his brothers have been in his ministry? How much closer could his brothers have been, right, to being a part of God's ministry through them? Many years versus only 3 years of discipleship, 3 years of traveling with Jesus that these disciples had. But because his brothers didn't recognize who he was, but the crowds and those who intentionally sought after Jesus, they wanted Jesus. They came, they knew who he was. So the crowds and the disciples, they intentionally sought Jesus and they got closer to him, while his brothers remained on the outside of what God was doing in his life. So how do we keep from being lost in the crowd like the brothers? Seek out Jesus' presence. Press in to God's word. Like he says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Press into God's word and put it into practice. Be a difference maker and spend time with Jesus first. Seek out his presence. Press into his word. Hear it and put his word into practice. Can we put God's word into practice? We're really putting Jesus into practice. That's who make become a difference maker, by putting Jesus's life and love into practice. Amen. Jumping on down here all the way to the bottom. Last 2 points. To be a difference maker, do take the time to seek and care for the one. We see that's what Jesus was doing, right? Jesus came after a demon-oppressed man. He came after Jairus. He came after the woman with the issue of blood. These stories all kind of run together, right? But all three individuals were amongst a crowd of people. All these individuals were in larger towns or situations where they were could have been lost in the crowd. And yet Jesus not only felt their pain, but felt their faith in seeking healing and seeking him despite the crowds around them. Amen. And there are people around us who are seeking healing. Take the time, take the effort to let them meet Jesus through you. Let them meet Jesus through you. Be a difference maker. Take the time to seek and care for the one like Jesus did. And that's why I'm so excited for our Love Week outreaches coming up for Easter. So we have so much going on for Easter. We have big Easter outreaches, right? Every year for Easter, we make these great large Easter baskets full of snacks and candy and treats and all different kinds of things for our hospital staff and the medical centers, right? But we include everyone. When we call around asking for numbers and headcounts, we want to include everyone. We include dietary staff. We include the janitorial staff. We connect with the EMS divisions. We reach out to dispatchers, right? We want everyone who's often overlooked in these medical centers. When others bless the doctors and the nurses, and Nurses Week is all great, and we should definitely honor and thank our nurses and doctors too. We want to make sure everyone, we go after the one, right? Everyone deserves to have that love of Jesus in their life. And that's just this. We're doing our connect groups this Easter season are blessing over 100 local moms and children at pregnancy and parenthood support centers with personal Easter baskets, saying, "Hey, mom, you're having a hard season. Hey, mom, you made a hard choice, and you're choosing life for yourself and your child. We want to honor you. We want to celebrate you. We want to come alongside you and say, hey, we see you. God sees you. Jesus sees your love you're pouring out to your kids. Make her feel loved in a personal, singular way." For those kids who might not have, have the means to have a special Easter basket or a special Easter, right? It's just something that's small we can do to say, hey, mom, we got this. We can take care of this. We can love on your kids alongside you. We want to come alongside and support your kids with you and love on them as Jesus loves them, right? Even this Easter, we're making close to 1,000 bags of candy for those on the streets, those in recovery centers, even a local prison. We got into a local prison to make inmates candy bags as well. And it's about taking that time for over 1,000 individuals to feel seen and known and loved on a personal level, right? By taking the time and the resources to be a difference maker for not just the hundreds on Sunday that come to a service, for healing and hope and the love of Jesus, but for that one that might not be able to come on a Sunday for whatever reason that is, so they can still know, hey, you might be living on the streets right now. Hey, you might have no transportation from the recovery center you're in getting cleaned up. Hey, maybe you're in a prison right now. You can't get out. But there is a God in heaven, and there's a Savior who loves you enough to give his life for you when he resurrected this Easter season. And it's about us being difference makers to go after that one with our time, our energy, our resources. Amen. The opposite, right? The opposite, this final point, to be a difference maker, don't let your own perspectives keep others away from Jesus. Because the flip side of the story here, the flip side is that the people on the island, they had the demon-oppressed man chained. He was sent away to live in the tombs. He was by himself. He was isolated. The woman with the issue of blood, she was seen as unclean and cast aside by society. Even the mourners of Jairus' daughter, they tried to have him turn Jesus away, and they laughed at Jesus when he came to raise her, right? It's because these people, the townspeople, the crowd, even the mourners, they could only see the physical, not the spiritual. They, because of this, they nearly turned people away from Jesus and their healing. I cried. Like, I've cried more writing and doing this soap study than I have in multiple previous soap studies, okay? But this verse got me. Verse 37, it broke my heart. Verse 37 says, "From all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left." The Message version, it says, they got together and asked Jesus to leave. Too much changed, too fast, and they were scared. So Jesus got back in the boat and set off. How many more people on that island needed help? How many more people on that island needed healing? How many more people on that island needed the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus? And they didn't get it because people around them turned him away. They were overcome with fear, so he left. Don't be those people, church. Don't let your own perspectives, your own disbelief, your own judgments, your own inability to see God at work, or your own fear or unknown keep others from the difference Jesus wants to make in their life. How not to be a difference maker? Don't let your own perspectives keep others from Jesus. Don't let this be another season where someone else doesn't get to meet Jesus because we're too scared. We're too scared of their opinions. We're too scared of that giving them an invite card. We're too scared of dropping off an Easter basket. We're too scared to just share an Instagram post or share a Facebook post inviting people to come to church, even on social media, right? We see God come and people come from incredible ways for just a social media invite. Don't let people miss out because of your own fear on the healing and the restoration and the deliverance that they need through Jesus. Amen. All right, so we should close out here. Again, the do's and don'ts of being a difference maker. Do, fight against the cultural standards and opinions of others. Do, share your light with others. And to be a difference maker, do take the time to seek and care for the one. Don't let the seed of his word fall in poor soil. Don't let yourself get lost in the crowd. And don't let your own perspective keep others from Jesus. As we close out, two application questions, nice and simple. One, how is the Holy Spirit challenging you through these do's and don'ts today? What's that do you need to step up and do more of? What's that don't you need to break free from doing? What's that new do you need to do for Jesus? And my challenge, be a difference maker this Easter season. Sign up for a Love Week outreach to share your light. Donate candy or snacks so we can seek and care for the one. Pick up a pack of Easter jam or Easter service cards to invite someone you know needs Jesus. Fight against the opinions of others or even your own perspective and judgment. And allow the opportunity for others to encounter Jesus for the healing and the love that he has waiting for them. Don't turn him away from other people's changed life stories. Amen. Come on. Jesus, thank you for today. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your example. God, give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the hearts that are teachable and listening, Lord God, so we may move and speak and share your light you're calling us to. Each one of us listening right now, Lord God, each one of us has a different calling and different purpose. So God, I pray just help us to be your difference makers. Help us, even after this difference maker series ends, let's be difference makers still tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Let's keep seeing your word, Lord God, daily and being challenged and growing to be greater difference makers in and through your word. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I love you all. I always love seeing you all on Zoom and hearing your comments afterwards in the podcast, how God's challenging you through your word. So keep pressing in, be listeners and doers of the word today. Amen. Take care and God bless. We'll see you during Love Week coming up next week. Take care and God bless.